Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really cutting through some of the macroeconomic confusion. We want to anchor our analysis firmly in commercial real estate and specifically focus on the retail sector, which has been showing some, well, surprising resilience. Our mission today is pretty critical. We need to separate that national narrative, you know, the economic uncertainty from the specific actionable signals we're seeing right here on the ground in the Dallas-Fort Worth market.
Yeah, that's an absolutely essential distinction for anyone operating or investing in CRE right now. Because if you look at the U.S. market broadly, it's really defined by this deep bifurcation. I mean, we essentially have two completely different realities running side by side. On one hand, you've got these systemic strains, things like policy uncertainty, the rising cost of capital, and some, frankly, serious financial stress indicators popping up, especially in the CMBS market.
Okay, wait, let's just quickly clarify that for our listeners. When you mention CMBS market stress, commercial mortgage-backed securities you're talking about, basically potential trouble in the pipeline for commercial loans, yeah.
Precisely, yeah. It signals things like a reluctance to lend, maybe difficulty refinancing existing debt, and even potential defaults on older properties. And all that creates this kind of atmosphere of financial anxiety. That's the national uncertainty baseline, if you will. But then, you know, on the other side of that split, you have specific sectors, and retail is a prime example, showing surprisingly robust fundamentals. It's almost defying that broader national data. So the goal for this deep dive is really to isolate what makes DFW part of that resilient half instead of getting bogged down in all the systemic noise.
Okay, great. Let's unpack that resilience first then, because the retail investment numbers, given those headwinds you mentioned, they are pretty astonishing. Investment sales volume is up significantly.
Here we are.
The third quarter volume just hit $16.1 billion. I mean, that's a huge 40% increase from Q3 2024. That's the highest quarterly metric we've seen in 3 years. So clearly, capital is flowing somewhere, and it seems to be flowing into retail.
And what's truly fascinating, I think, is that this surge in investment is happening against a backdrop of incredibly tight physical supply. National retail availability remains at a historic low. We're talking 5.3%. That's well below the long-term average, which is closer to 6.6%.
So less actual space available, but way more interest in investment coming in.
Exactly. And this persistent undersupply, that's really the single most important factor right now, giving owners and operators price and power. Think about it. If a grocery-anchored center has a, say, 2,000-square-foot slot open up in a high-growth area, the demand is just astronomical. Why? Because there often aren't any other quality options nearby.
But let's not completely ignore those headwinds we talked about. We've got consumer confidence that's softened. It's hovering near that all-time low we saw back in April 2022. And then there are these mercurial tariff policies creating constant uncertainty for retailers, especially those sourcing goods from overseas. How are those factors playing out in, you know, the all-important holiday spending forecasts?
Well, the forecasts really reflect that tension perfectly. You have the ICSC, that's the Shopping Center Industry Group, forecasting a relatively healthy 3.5% to 4.0% increase in retail sales. They predict sales will top $1.7 trillion. And that figure suggests, you know, some deep underlying consumer stability. However, look at Deloitte. They're forecasting a more muted increase, maybe 2.9% to 3.4%. And importantly, if that holds true, it'll be the smallest holiday sales increase since at least 2016.
Right. That slight difference, even just half a percentage point in the forecast, really shows where that caution is kind of winning out.
It does. And that caution translates directly into how consumers behave. We know the tariff friction, for instance, is expected to influence purchasing decisions. It's pushing people to prioritize value. A significant majority, something like 64%, report they'll spend more time hunting for deals this year. They're looking for savings, focusing maybe more on necessity purchases rather than luxury items. And, you know, from an investment standpoint, this really validates focusing on necessity-based and value-oriented retail properties.
Okay, so we have this environment, strong capital flowing in, supply is tight, but the consumer is definitely cautious, looking hard for value. That sets the stage perfectly to talk about DFW. If the national picture has all this macro friction, as you put it, can DFW retail really be that insulated? I mean, doesn't all the local expansion we're seeing feel like a potentially risky bet against that softening consumer confidence?
That's really where the local context just trumps the national average. The expansion happening here isn't purely based on optimism. I'd argue it's based on demographic inevitability. When you have this level of relentless population growth and the job growth that comes with it, you simply must build the retail infrastructure to serve those people. So the expansion feels less like a bet and more like a necessary response. It's concrete and it validates that continued long-term investment view.
Okay, let's look at some of that ground-level activity then. North Texas, especially the northern suburbs, has just been a magnet.
Oh, absolutely. It's the epicenter of growth right now. Take Melissa, for example, up near McKinney. It's consistently ranked as one of the fastest-growing cities in the entire U.S. Walmart just opened a huge new store there, over 170,000 square feet. Now, that's not some speculative build. That's a direct response to thousands of new houses going up. And remember, that opening follows major grocery players like H-E-B and Kroger adding stores in that same booming area just last year.
And it's not just the giant big box stores chasing those rooftops either. Look a bit further north at Prosper. Their planning and zoning board just approved a preliminary site plan for West Fork Crossing.
Right off US 380 and G Road.
Yeah, totaling almost 158,000 square feet of new restaurant and retail space. That scale of development, over 150,000 square feet, that's a substantial long-term commitment. It signals real confidence that the residential boom there is permanent and needs servicing.
And this commitment, this activity, it leads us to one of the really exciting aspects of DFW retail right now, format innovation. Retailers here are actively reimagining what the physical store actually does. And we see this perfectly with that IKEA and Best Buy partnership.
Oh yeah, this is a great story. IKEA is opening these in-store planning and shopping experiences actually inside select Best Buy locations. We're seeing this locally in Mesquite and Holland. Those are set to open November 14th.
And what's really brilliant about it is how they've kind of hybridized the purpose of that physical space.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for browsing furniture anymore, right? It's a planning experience where you can actually design your kitchen with consultants. And at the same time, those Best Buy locations now serve as free pickup points for most IKEA products ordered online.
So you could potentially grab a new TV at Best Buy, sit down with an IKEA planner, design your home office, and then pick up your flat pack bookcase all at the same Holland store. That radically merges the traditional experience aspect of retail with very modern logistical fulfillment needs. It makes that physical store footprint much more valuable.
And that focus on the quality of the experience, it's also showing up even in legacy retail. We're actually seeing signs of life again in the department store sector. Think Macy's, Dillard's, Nordstrom. They seem to be refocusing on having fewer but better stores. More attractive spaces, more attentive staff. Feels like a critical pivot back towards emphasizing quality and that in-person experience over just sheer volume, which frankly elevates the whole retail ecosystem here in DFW.
Now let's circle back to that crucial question. Why? Why is DFW seemingly so insulated from that national macro friction? You mentioned demographics, but it really comes down to the underlying corporate and job growth drivers, doesn't it? They guarantee that constantly growing consumer base, often with high disposable income.
Absolutely. The foundational strength is job creation. Period. Oxford Economics, for instance, Project DFW, will rank third nationally in management job growth between 2025 and 2029. Only Austin and San Antonio are projected higher. And remember, DFW already secured the state's largest numerical growth in the tech sector during the first half of this decade. This constant influx of high-earning management and tech jobs ensures a reliable, relatively wealthy customer base for local retail for years to come.
And the physical commitment from major corporations is just monumental. It acts like these huge long-term anchors for the local economy. Just look at Goldman Sachs. They recently achieved that major topping out milestone on their massive new Dallas campus on Field Street.
800,000 square feet.
Yeah, 800,000 square feet. This one project alone will eventually house more than 5,000 employees.
That is such a powerful signal to the market and the estimated cost for that campus. It's now been raised to $709 million. I mean, when a global financial leader commits nearly $750 million to a new campus like that, that confidence just filters down into every commercial sector around it. Retail, office, housing, you name it. It completely justifies building out new services and shopping centers nearby to support those employees.
And even DFW-based retailers themselves are showing strength through adaptability. Look at At Home Group, Inc., the Dallas area retailer. They recently emerged from bankruptcy protection.
Right. Their successful pivot is actually a great local health check for the market. They came out with new ownership, new financing, and managed to eliminate nearly $2 billion in debt. Now, yes, they did have to close about 31 stores nationally, but they still operate 229 today and claim renewed financial strength. That signals that even local, large format retail brands can navigate some really severe challenges and reposition themselves successfully in this specific market. Their continued presence validates DFW as a strong base for retail operations.
Okay, this leads us directly into thinking about strategic shifts, the things that are defining future property requirements. Because for investors and operators watching DFW, just buying a nice, well-located shopping center isn't really enough anymore, is it? You have to understand the technology and the logistics that are fundamentally changing how retailers use that physical space.
Yeah, there are two key areas of efficiency that are rapidly redefining physical space needs: automation and returns logistics. Let's start with inventory. Inventory distortion, that just means having either out of stocks or way too much stock, overstocks, cost the global retail industry a truly staggering amount. $1.73 trillion annually. That number is just, it's too large for any retailer to ignore.
Wow, $1.73 trillion. That is a massive operational leak that retailers absolutely have to plug.
Exactly. And the consensus is pretty clear on the solution. Robotics and automation are seen as the top tools for improving inventory accuracy. Research indicates something like 72% of surveyed retailers are planning some kind of robotics deployment by the end of 2027. Now, this obviously influences warehouse design, sure, but it also directly impacts the operational back-of-house design for retail stores and those smaller urban fulfillment centers here in DFW. They need different things now. Higher ceiling clearances, maybe specially optimized flooring, different layouts altogether just to accommodate automated systems and movement.
And then there's the flip side of sales. Handling returns, post-purchase anxiety, delivery issues, they're widespread now, and they create this enormous logistical headache for retailers. We heard about that new app, Refundly, that's trying to streamline online returns and refund tracking.
Right, and that app really just highlights the scale of the return problem. They cited data showing a 7.5% error rate among major online retailers. And within that, about 4% of refund amounts were apparently never actually returned to consumers. That represents potentially $14 billion of unreturned consumer funds every year. It just demonstrates how broken the reverse logistics supply chain, getting products back efficiently, really is.
So if the digital process for returns is failing or inefficient, the physical retail space has to step in to manage it effectively.
Precisely. This emphasizes the urgent and growing need for physical retail spaces to efficiently manage that reverse logistics flow. Suddenly, the store isn't just a place to sell things. It becomes a crucial node for processing returns, handling exchanges, maybe even acting as a micro-fulfillment center itself.
Yeah.
And this is a functional requirement that fundamentally changes the value proposition of every square foot of physical retail property.
And we are seeing the capital markets respond to this intrinsic value, particularly in Texas, aren't we? We saw that pretty aggressive, raised, hostile bid by MCB Real Estate for Houston-based Whitestone REIT, $15.20 per share. That was like a 21% premium over the trading price at the time.
Yeah, that kind of aggressive M&A activity is a very clear market validation signal. It reflects a strong competitive appetite from capital sources for exactly these kinds of assets. Necessity-based, open-air retail centers located in high-growth Texas markets like DFW or Houston. In these markets, the risk of that national macro friction we talked about is seen as being mitigated by overwhelming local demand and population growth. This is hard data, essentially backing the thesis that physical retail in resilient Sunbelt markets like DFW is highly valuable right now.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize all this for you, the listener, whether you're an investor or an operator. What's the final takeaway regarding DFW's retail sector?
I think the key is clarity amidst the chaos. While yes, National CRE is navigating some significant systemic noise policy issues, high cost of capital, general macroeconomic uncertainty DFW retail continues to shine. And its success seems fundamentally guaranteed, or at least heavily supported, by three core factors. First, those committed local corporate relocations like Goldman Sachs anchoring future growth. Second, the relentless residential expansion into markets like Prosper and Melissa demanding services. And third, the successful adaptation we're seeing in retail formats towards value, logistics, and integrating better experiences. So DFW isn't just getting lucky. It seems heavily insulated by just overwhelming high-income local demand that needs to be served.
Right. So given that DFW is investing so heavily in these new retail developments and major corporate anchors, and considering that massive investment retailers are making into optimizing inventory using robotics, here's a final provocative thought for you to carry forward. How will the necessary design of DFW retail space itself need to change over the next 5 years? Not just to optimize for the human consumer walking in the door, but specifically to accommodate automation technology. Think about how loading docks, stock rooms, maybe even the store aisles themselves will be forced to adapt to robotics to efficient reverse logistics, potentially blurring the line even further between a traditional retail outlet and a high-tech fulfillment center. Something to watch closely.